Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Good evening, everybody. It's the Bart Winkler Show. I'm Bart Winkler. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. Well, this is going to be the question after this national championship game tonight. Is it worth it to sit through a couple of weekends where we're not getting March Madness, we're not getting chaos, if the Final Four ends up being like an all-timer? Is it worth it? I would argue yes. The ratings for this thing have still been very good. Final Four had big numbers, so people are watching. You know, it's the number one seeds in every region. But I think it feels to me like the excitement is in the first 2 days. That's when the excitement is in. You got 2 days. It's 2 days off. You know, it's usually around St. Patrick's Day. You just have a good time. You're just watching basketball all day. Games start early. They go late. The further you get into this thing, I feel like the Sweet 16 Elite Eight weekend, I don't feel like is as fun as the other weekends. And this weekend, obviously, because there's a champion that's going to be crowned, and you get the Final Four, so it's a Saturday, two really good games against the four teams that have battled, and then on Monday night, you're left with the championship game, and you hope that that's a good game. As we come to you to start hour number two of our show, Houston is up 63-62 with a minute 21 left. They had up to a 10-point lead at one point, the Cougars did, and they are going to be looking to hang on to that. Florida and Houston, they've been tied a bunch. Florida's led for maybe 35 seconds in this game as we dip under a minute here, and it would be a big moment for Houston, a team that has not won a championship. They were runners-up back in 83 and 84. They had a period where, I mean, we can go all the way back. We'll go all the way back to the 40s. You know, they're like any of these teams, 500 a bunch. Then they had some different runs, you know, in the 60s and 70s. Really had a level under Guy Lewis in the early 80s where they were contending. Pat Foster got them to the tournament in 1992. They lost in the first round. They did not get back to the tournament until 2010. And now they're in Conference USA, okay? They're in the Southwest Conference, so you know it's hard for them to get in. But then they're a part of the American Athletic Conference, and now here in the Big 12. For the second season, and they've made the tournament every year outside of COVID since 2018, and they have turned into a dominant perennial contender under Calvin Sampson. Calvin Sampson, who has been coaching for a long time, was with Oklahoma. Well, he's with Washington State. I mean, I'll go all the way back to 1979. Graduate assistant, Michigan State. Montana Tech for a handful of years. Washington State, coached at Oklahoma, spent a few years at Indiana, short years, was an assistant with the Milwaukee Bucks for a little bit, and then an assistant with the Houston Rockets, and then dipped back into the NCAA as the coach at Houston. And so what they've been able to do under his tenure is they missed the tournament 13-9 his first year, then 2 years of the NIT, then they get back into the tournament for the first time, really for only the second time in 30 years. Round of 32, then the Sweet 16, then COVID, then a Final Four in 2021. Elite Eight the following year, Sweet 16, Sweet 16, and now here we are in the national championship game with 46.5 seconds to go. with Florida just taking a one-point lead, 64-63, their first lead since it was 8-6. So they've tied the game a bunch. They were down 10, rallied, have tied the game a bunch, but now have got the lead and the ball on and out of bounds with 26 and a half seconds to go. And with what we saw on Saturday night, you can't count out anything that's going to happen here. Because remember, against Duke, they were down 14 minutes. They went on an 11-1 run in the final 1 minute and 14 seconds in that game. They were down 6 with 35 to go. You're down 6 with 35 to go in the final four. Being down 1 with 26 and a half to go doesn't seem as daunting. And a lot of these teams have played close games throughout, and that might have been one of the weaknesses with Duke, is the ACC did not provide that level of competition for Duke where they were able to easily go through it. And then they had a moment of being tested, and they weren't able to live up to that moment. So I think a lot of people coming into this weekend, I went through the map of all the states. We were at about 42 states where if you look through everybody's social media, just a fun little social media gathering poll, Houston is the team that most people were rooting for. And I think coming into this weekend, certainly that was the case. Against Duke, certainly that was the case. Because nobody likes Duke. Unless you like Duke, you don't like Duke. And that does make more sense than it sounds like. Of course, it sounds obvious. But I'm talking like, unless you really, like, do you think about Houston ever? Even Florida. Do you think about Florida? Do you think about Auburn? But if I say Duke, you either hate Duke or you like Duke. No one's indifferent on Duke. We might be indifferent on Houston, but find enough reasons to root for them. We might be indifferent on Florida. And, you know, if you're a rival school, you might not like them. But Duke is uniquely hated by a lot of different people that watch college basketball, if for no other reason than the level of success. And it's always fun to have a team that is so successful that you can still hate on, and you watch them in big games and then they lose. Now for Florida, this is a team that had, you know, going all the way back, they never really did much either. I mean, this university never really did anything for 80 years and then finally make their first NCAA tournament in 1989, made a Final Four in 94. Billy Donovan comes in, and now we're making the tournament consistently, winning back-to-back titles in 06 and 07. And still making some Elite Eights, still making some Final Fours. Donovan leaves, Mike White takes over, gets to an Elite Eight, round of 32, but it's not like it was. Todd Golden comes, and he joined the team in 2022 after coaching at San Francisco for a while, and he took them to the NCAA tournament in 2022. And as is customary, when you have a guy from a mid-major make the NCAA tournament, suddenly he gets promoted to a power conference school. And so that's what happened with Todd Golden. So he gets there 16-17, NIT a couple of years ago, the round of 64. And then now in the national championship game with a 2-point lead with 19.7 seconds to go. So this game, this finish, it's going to be a good finish. I don't think it's as chaotic as Saturday night, but even Florida's game Saturday night, they were down against Auburn and had to come back. So this is going to end up being one of the stronger Final Fours that we've had in terms of competition, which should make sense. These are all number one seeds. And the stat that I had for you guys last week was with the KenPom ratings. And again, even if you're not familiar what the formula is, it doesn't matter. Let me just tell you once again that there is a rating system that ranks with the formula how good a team is in college basketball. And these four teams that were in the Final Four, all the way back since the KenPom rating started in 1995, These four teams are in the top 10. Not top 10 this year, top 10 of the last 30 years. These teams have been dominant. They have been successful. You've seen them have a relatively smooth pass. Florida a little more cardiac than the others, but they've gotten to this point. And so it should be no surprise that the Final Four has been good. The gap a little bigger between the mid-majors and the top teams this year for whatever reason. It could be NIL. It could be, look, the mid-majors, they just, like, collectively had a real poor time shooting threes, and typically if you're going to have an upset, you're going to make a lot of threes. That was a problem that happened. And so we were hoping, as the tournament got deeper, that we would get a great finish, and then we got a chaotic Final Four, and the pause in my voice, how did that, what the hell was that? Was that the weirdest ending to a game you've ever seen?
Very strange.
All right, so let me go through what happened, because now I'm not doing play-by-play, right?
Correct, we're clear.
Okay, so I am going to tell you what happened. This already happened. Florida won, by the way. Florida won, 65-63. Houston has the ball after a timeout. 18.7. This is one of the weirder parts of doing this time slot, because this is a mess. What happened? All right. So Houston's got the ball, and there's 18.7 seconds left, and they're dribbling it up. All right, past the center line. 14 on the clock. Trying to figure out which way to go. We go far side, little double team. Swing it back around. Now we got 5 seconds on the clock. And who is that with the basketball? I don't know. It's a Houston Cougar with the basketball. And he's at, like, the logo right now. And I'm like, is he going to take this three with 5 seconds left on the clock? So then he goes up, but a guy comes charging in, so he drops the ball onto the court, and then he can't touch it, because if he touches it, it's up and down, right? You can't go up, and then you can't do that. So now he's, like, staring at the ball and boxing it out. He's boxing out the basketball, and now Florida's trying to get it. They dive on it, and then the time runs out. So that's how it ended. That's insane. So we got a chaotic finish for Houston to get to this point where they did everything right. And then here, it's just poor execution on a play where, you know, I don't know that he takes that shot. He makes that shot. It probably would have been blocked. That's why he came down with it. He was smart enough, I guess, not to touch it, or do you want to touch it? And then Florida gets the ball. You can at least have them shoot free throws, but they're already up two. That was probably your best effort. But Florida's won a national championship. Florida Gators have won the national championship for the first time since 2007. Thank you to Carlos, who was 30 seconds ahead of me, for not ruining it. Your initial thoughts there?
Good game. And this is, no, wait, you want the X's and O's, and we all just saw it. But no, to kind of go back to what you submitted and sent earlier, remember when I threw a little live grenade to end the show a couple weeks ago, where I'm like, I think, you know, the round of 64 might be one of the most overrated things in sports, because for this exact reason, we had one of the best Final Fours, and even go back a little bit further, I think this is one of the best Elite Eights we've had. Like, we've had really good, stiff competition going down the stretch, because we did not have upsets to basically ruin what we just had. I think the 64, yeah, it's exciting, it's cool, you know, you get to see a McNeese win, you get to see a Furman win, you know, all these, you know, double-digit upsets. But then you get into reality the very next weekend, I'm like, oh yeah, these games suck. I think everything we just saw with Florida and Houston, and then with Duke and the Michigan State, like, this was a great finish to a tournament that I think a lot of people are just going to say that this was forgettable at the end of the day, because it was so chalky. But this is what I like to see. I like to see the best teams go at it. And this was a very tight game. Florida had to overcome a 12-point lead here. So this is really good stuff. I don't care about the 64. This is what I like.
Well, the 64 we like because of upsets and because of the mayhem and because there's so many games happening at the same time. And that's why I wonder, are we in store for something where the gap is only going to get bigger? Is this the norm where we're going to get more tournaments that you have to wait until the Final Four for everybody to play it out? I mean, even if with college football, we added more teams, and then that first weekend, the games were bad. The games were very bad. It was not entertaining. It's great that everybody got an opportunity to be in, but the games were no good. This seems like we may get to the same sort of situation here when it comes to college basketball. We are going to celebrate with a Florida alum, Mark Ryan. You hear him on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm sure he's happy. And I have to tell him that I was an almost Florida Gators alum. As in, I briefly for one day considered, should I apply to Florida? Never did, and have regretted not doing it ever since. I mean, go to college in Gainesville or go to college in La Crosse, Wisconsin, which I think worked out well for my life, but I think I would have more fun in college had I gone to the University of Florida. And I could root for, you know, a national champion instead of whatever the hell D3 they're in. All right, 888-710-4ISN. We'll celebrate the Gators more when we come back on the Bart Winkler Show.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is the Bart Winkler Show, America's postgame. And tonight, we've got a good one to talk about with you as the Florida Gators are national champions with a 65-63 victory over the Houston Cougars. That elusive title still not in their grasp. The Gators kind of ripping it away from Houston, trailing by double digits in the second half, storming back. Houston, the exact team that was able to watch and beat Duke for not making shots and collapsing down the stretch, then became the exact team to not make shots and collapse down the stretch. It wasn't as bad. It won't be remembered as badly, but there were plenty of Houston Cougars fans and alum who thought, we're going to be national champions. Well, they're not. This alum of Florida is Mark Ryan. You hear him on the Infinity Sports Network and 97.1 The Ticket in Detroit, where I would think this is a better end to your day because I saw the start of your day. You were upset that there was snow in April, but welcome to the Midwest.
Bart Winkler, you know what I love about you, man, is that I think you and I don't follow the rules of sports media. We're told we're supposed to be serious. We're not supposed to root. Screw that. We all got into this because we love sports, right? And so this is the beauty of it, is that we get to celebrate and we get to cheer. And I still can't believe this happened. What is the sporting event in your life, Bart, that left you in stunned disbelief?
Like in a good way, you're asking me?
Yes, because we push out the negative.
Because I've got plenty of bad ways. As a Packer fan, I've got plenty of bad ways. I think to see, like, because the Packers have been this team in my life that has always been, you know, at least in my life, good. And then you had the Brewers and the Bucks that were kind of like, no, get out of the way. It's Packer country. The Bucks winning in 2021 certainly was great. I almost got, though, as a Wisconsin Badger fan, not alum, but I almost got the Badgers. That was sadly actually the last time Duke won the championship, when the Badgers should not be in the national championship, but they were. And then the ball goes off Justice Winslow's finger, but it didn't, but they say. So I would say, like, the Bucks, I almost had a national championship to celebrate. But this would be it for you, are you saying? Is that why you're asking me?
This is it for me. Like, I can't believe what I just saw. You don't come back from 12 points down against the team that has like that kind of bear trap defense, you're down by 12. That's game over. That's game, set, match. There was a 93.8% chance Florida was going to lose at that point. And then at the end, what made it so insane to me is you had two teams who believed nothing other than they were going to find a way to win, because that's all both of those teams had done. But, you know, like with Duke and Houston, it was like, you know, unstoppable force, immovable object, number one offense, number one defense, which is going to prevail. I watched the game. I still don't know. It was the same thing, man, at the end of this game. I will say, like, so many young guys today are modeling their game after Steph Curry. And I thought to myself in the first half, I thought Walter Clayton Jr. for Florida was too good, Bart, to be taken out of the game. And they took him out of the game, no points. And like Steph Curry, he found a way to impact the game in the second half when he didn't have his shot, and that was the difference in the game.
Yeah, he finished with 11. Not having any points at halftime was certainly the big talking point there. These teams started a little slow, especially from three, the nerves kicking in, and then a close game at halftime, just 3 points. But then, you know, Houston, they take a lead, a double-digit lead. And again, you got to think, like, what happened that other night? Because we're talking about one of these historic nights, and everybody's watching this game, and everybody's rooting against Duke, and it's just wild. But then Florida gets their version of that. But Florida's, like, had their version of that the last three games, how they came back against Texas Tech, how they came back against Auburn. Like, if Florida was going to win this game, Mark, of course it had to follow the script of those two.
And Houston came into tonight 33-0 in games in which they allowed less than 70 points. I mean, think about that. They had won 17 in a row. They don't lose when they allow less than 70 points a game. And Florida, despite all doubts, you know, I don't know, Bart, if you feel like sports has a responsibility to crown the best team, because March Madness does the absolute worst job of that. You know, like, yeah. NBA always crowns the best team. There's almost no upsets in the playoffs. And March Madness, I promise you, if you ran this tournament back, and this is hard for me to say as a Gator graduate, you'd have had a different champion. Florida lost in this tournament no fewer than four different times and somehow found a way to win.
You are an alum, and with an alum comes pride of your university. And so I look and say, well, are we talking about pride for this given moment? But then I see your pinned tweet, and you're saying it's blue blood season for Florida.
You know what? You know what, Bart? Like, I always think the scoreboard tells the story. And when you consider this, you know, people said to me, you can't become a blue blood. I don't know how you feel about that. At one point, nobody was a blue blood, so that statement doesn't even make any sense to me. But in the last, since 2000, this millennium, Florida has more Final Fours than blue bloods, UCLA, Kentucky, and Villanova, and with five, and trails only Kansas, Duke, UConn, Michigan State, and North Carolina. North Carolina leads the way with seven. So if you are the company you keep, is Florida not becoming a blue blood? If you had to answer that today, Bart, what would you say?
I would say I would lean towards yes, just because I think that question is about when did you start watching? When did you get into, you know, when did you become cognizant of? And for, I mean, I know Florida for like 70 years, their basketball program barely existed. But in the 2000s, they were good. I mean, anything Billy Donovan, they were good, and it's not like they've totally gone away since. So I would probably say closer to yes. I mean, how far are we going to go back? Are you going to call Indiana a blue blood because they had a run with Bobby Knight and then have been, like, sporadically okay? I don't know. I think blue blood can be, like, a term that you can come in and come out of. Prior to this last decade, the Golden State Warriors were not one of the elite franchises in the NBA. Prior to the 2000s, the New England Patriots were a laughingstock in the NFL. So I do think, Mark, I would agree that it's at least a movable sort of thing.
Yeah, and I think the same with any title, you know, any self-glossing that you do, right? The Dallas Cowboys, they have lost the right to be called America's team. the team I cover here in hockey, the Detroit Red Wings, it's called Hockey Town here. I'm upsetting the natives, Bart, which I know you don't mind doing either. You and I have that in common. I'm telling them, you're about to miss the playoffs for the ninth year in a row. If that gets to 10, you're no longer Hockey Town. Indiana, in my opinion, has lost the right to be called the Blue Blood. And if there's only 9 spaces, I think Florida is absolutely moving into that. And I think the thing that's crazy to me about the way this game ended, in a college sports landscape, when all of us are lamenting what happened to you know, amateur athletics, boy, Bart, did this ever deliver and then some. I was bummed there was no Cinderella. I was bummed there were 4 number one seeds. But darn if these weren't some of the best games we've ever seen.
Well, do you think, as we're talking with Mark Ryan, 97.1 The Ticket, and the Infinity Sports Network here, an alum of Florida, so a very happy man tonight, do you think this is more of the norm now? Is it 1 year and we're all going to react and, you know, next year we're going to get back to upsets again? You can look at NIL stuff and now 4 power conferences, so that's consolidated a little bit. But throughout this tournament, you had to think that when there were no upsets, that when there even the Sweet 16 was not that great, you had to think that, okay, these are 4 of the best teams that have graced the floor in the last 30 years. They're all in this tournament this year. If it's top-heavy now, that doesn't mean it's going to be top-heavy next year. Does it feel like this was a one-off, or should we expect, like, hey, those first 2 days aren't going to be as fun as they used to be, but the Final Four is going to be some awesome basketball?
Yeah, you know what's interesting? All of us say we love the Cinderella, but then the ratings don't support that. The ratings say that we love the Blue Bloods. But here's the issue, Bart. In 1985, the first year of 64 teams, there were 3 teams seeded 11th or lower that made it to the Sweet 16. In 1990, there were 3. In 2000, there were 3. In 2010, there were 3. Guess how many there were last year? 1. Guess how many this year? None. Florida Atlantic is the perfect poster child. Remember a couple of years ago, they made the Final Four?
Yeah.
Their head coach and 4 of their 5 starters are now on other teams. You can have something special if you're a Tom Izzo in Michigan State and convince your guys that it's okay to average 6 points a game and play 10 guys, and Michigan State had 4 of its 5 starters that began school there. You've got to be able and willing to get buy-in and convince these guys that the grass isn't greener. And those coaches who do that are going to be great. But I do think, unfortunately, we're going to lose some of that elation that we have when Northern Iowa beats Kansas.
I've got 2 Detroit things I need to talk to you about, and then I'll let you go and celebrate.
Sure.
Okay, so one of the problems that I'm having in my life is that I am making predictions that are pie in the sky and they come true. The problem is I don't bet on them. The things I bet on, I always lose my bets. I say things on the radio, like last year I said the San Francisco 49ers are not making the playoffs next year. Who would say that? Why didn't I profit from it? I said the Eagles are going to blow out the Chiefs, but the line I took was -19. They won by 18. And one other thing I said back in January of last year, when they maybe only had 4 wins, I said this Detroit Pistons team is going to make the playoffs next year. And now that not only are they going to make the playoffs, there's a possibility that they see the Milwaukee Bucks. I don't know. I think that's kind of getting a little stretched out here, but the Pistons could be the 5 or the 6. May have the Pacers, maybe Bucks, probably the Knicks. How do you feel about their chances here going forward on what's been a terrific year for them, although they lost tonight?
Well, first of all, Bart, what I need based on what you just said is I need tomorrow's lottery numbers, but I need you not to get a lottery ticket, okay? As long as we do that, I'll split the winnings with you. Best bet I ever made.
I can't. I always play the numbers from Lost. So that's 4, 8, 12, 15, whatever they were.
Yeah, there you go. Well, I'll tell you what. The Pistons are about to achieve one of the 5 biggest single-season turnarounds in NBA history. They're the only team that did it without a major acquisition. And I'm not trying to slight Malik Beasley because he's been amazing, Tobias Harris, but these were cast-offs from other teams. They have a level of camaraderie that I haven't seen in the NBA, I think, ever. You know, like the problems with the NBA, the ratings are down, there's an elitism, the salaries are out of control, the players fraternize with the other team more than they do the fans that are paying their salary. The Pistons are totally unlike that. They're a blue-collar, no-frills team that the city is really, really beginning to get behind. And the one opponent that I don't want is the Pacers. Bart, you and I will have to have a little friendly wager with the Bucks because the Pistons have already won two games at the Knicks this year.
The Pacers, you don't want to play them. That's the most Bucks played them last year, and it's like I didn't know or care about anyone on that team.
Yeah.
And then by the end of the series, I still don't like any. I mean, they will get annoying very quickly. So that should be fun. Detroit's been on a little bit of a comeback with some of these teams, and of course what the Lions have done. Last year, though, they hosted the draft. 700,000 people come to this thing. I just hope that Detroit just don't take it. The draft in Green Bay is not going to be as good as it was in Detroit. Like, there's not going to be as many people. There's nowhere to sleep. I'm not sure Green Bay can handle this. So just don't, like, if you're going to, in Detroit, if you're going to take victory laps about how you host the draft the best, that's fine. Do it. But just, like, don't drag us in the process, okay?
Well, you know what? We all need to be able to laugh at ourselves. Detroit, you know what people were proud about last year? That there were no violent incidents. And having just moved here at the time, Bart, I was dying laughing at that. I'm like, we're celebrating that there were no violent incidents. So if that's the bar, I think you got a chance. But I will say this, the city set the record. It was entirely peaceful. Again, I shouldn't even be saying that. The atmosphere was electric. And I think the thing more than anything else that Dan Campbell's done that has impressed me the most is he single-handedly changed the vibe about the city that star players don't want to come here because of the city. I asked Trajan Langdon about this, the president of basketball ops for the Pistons, and he said, Mark, there's nothing I can do about it being cold and gray in February. But players talk among themselves. And if our culture here is good, I won't get the phone hung up in my face nearly as much as I did last offseason. But I think the fact that Green Bay has a love affair with their team and is the storybook NFL franchise, I think that's still one of the greatest stories in pro sports today. How they've done that and how it's become the state's team and how you guys all own stakes in the team. I think Green Bay is going to do a knockout job. And frankly, I'm worried about them supplanting the Lions in the North this year.
Ooh, all right. Well, we'll leave that as a cliffhanger for the next time we chat. Mark, good to talk to you. Glad you're doing well. Congrats about the win tonight with Florida, and we will talk again soon.
You guys sound fantastic. Thanks for having me. Have a great night.
Mark Ryan, 97, won the ticket in Detroit. You can also hear him on the Infinity Sports Network throughout the week. Mark Ryan on air on social media. Florida beats Houston. The tournament was boring. Not the Final Four. Is this the norm? 888-710-4ISN. Let's get an update. Marco Belletti. It is the Bart Winkler Show. I am Bart Winkler, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Florida Gators have won the national championship 65-63. And a couple different things to talk about out of this one. We can talk, as we did with Mark Ryan, who normally you find him on the ticket in Detroit, but you do find him weekends and partially throughout the week sometimes, right here on the Infinity Sports Network. Is this tournament, is this the norm? Is what we saw here the norm? Are we going to see more tournaments now the upsets don't come as much. The games aren't as good. But then get me to this final weekend, this final four weekend. And I mean, I like to think instantly off the top of my head about all the great final fours. I can't. I would need to look it up. But I would think that some people are going to say this was one of the best final fours ever. I mean, Florida's win against Auburn, they had to come back in that one too. The Duke collapse was so outrageous. And then Houston, their collapse, like, I mean, the Duke collapse was so outrageous. Otherwise, this would have been like, whoa, here's a stat that I'm going to say so many times tonight. I would advise you not to do a drinking game on the fly. But Houston, in their comeback against Duke, went on an 11-1 run in the final minute and 14. Okay? So they go on an 11-1 run in the final minute and 14 against Duke. Against Florida, the last shot they took came with a minute and 25 to go on the clock. How is that possible? A minute 25 on the clock, LJ Cryer misses a jumper. They have an offensive rebound, and then there's a turnover, okay, via a Condon steal. Florida misses at the other end. They get the rebound, 52 seconds, another steal. Cryer turns it over this time. So Florida's got the ball. There's a foul on Houston. Gators make a couple of free throws. We're now at the 46-second mark. Florida gets another steal at the 26-second mark. Okay. A couple of subs go in. Florida makes a couple free throws. And then Houston, on their final possession, Emmanuel Sharpe goes up. Looks like he's going to take the shot. He's way back. I mean, this would have been a deep three. There's 5 seconds left on the clock when he goes up with the ball. There's a Gator charging in his face. So he drops the ball back onto the court. Now, smartly, he knows he can't touch it again. We go up and down. If he did touch it again, the clock would have stopped with like 3.9. Florida gets the ball. You know, they make a couple free throws. It's probably curtains at that point. But their best chance was probably to have somebody else get the ball and then quickly try to take a shot, which they could not do. So, yeah, that play, but then the possession before and the possession before, and where they had an 11-1 run in the final 74 seconds on Saturday night, come Monday night, they don't take a shot in the game's final 85 seconds. They had, what was the biggest, a 12-point lead? They had a 12-point lead. It was 42-30 with 15 minutes to go. And Houston's got to know, like, okay, we came back. It's not over yet. Florida, their last couple of games was built on this. This is how Florida won the national championship, by coming back against Texas Tech. I might have said A&M earlier. I'm cleaning that up. Coming back against Texas Tech, beating Auburn when they were down, and then pulling this off against Houston. So this whole Final Four, you have a complete, like, Jekyll and Hyde. Is that still a reference? A complete Jekyll and Hyde last 90 seconds, last minute and a half for the Cougars, who won a game improbable how they won that game. And because they won that game in the way they did, now it set themselves up for this heartbreak. Kelvin Sampson, I mean, there's got to be times where he thought he was winning this basketball game. And you don't like to think that when you're a coach on the sideline, it's out of your control. You've done what you can do. It's up to the players now. But there's times where you're thinking, you at least have the thought, like, you're picturing it. You know there's time left and nothing's over till it's over, but you do start to picture it a little bit.
And then for him to get as close as they've been getting and what he's done with the program, and then to see it slip away like that, added with how crazy it was that they got here in the first place, you know, the Duke loss is tough for Duke. I don't know. I don't know what's just tougher. This is for the championship. This has got to be. How do these people sleep? They won't. Staring at the ceiling for a long time after this one. We'll get talk to you guys about this game, this tournament. 888-710-4ISN. It is the Bart Winkler Show.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.